Tony Award-winning musical, An Epic Night of Rock and Roll, Million Dollar Quartet brings you into the recording studio with icons Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, and Jerry Lee Lewis. Based on a true story set on December 4th, 1956, Million Dollar Quartet follows the three of these four legendary musicians as they come together for one monumental night of music at Sun Records in Memphis. The Berkshire Theater Group is presenting Million Dollar Quartet at its Unicorn Theater through July 15th. Directed and with music direction by James Berry, the musical includes classic tunes such as Blue Suede Shoes, Fever, Walk the Line, 16 Tons, Great Balls of Fire, Hound Dog, and many, many more. We are joined by a trio of players. Bryson Katalinski, who plays Elvis Presley, is here. Good morning, sir.
How are you?
Very nice to have you here. Ben Nordstrom plays the father of rock and roll and founder of Sun Records, Sam Phillips. Good morning, Ben.
Hey, guys.
And Christy Coco plays aspiring singer and Elvis's girlfriend, Diane. Christy, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
And we're also joined by Alan Chartok, who saw and loved the show last weekend, and I wanted to have him here to share the love, so thank you very much for being with us.
Well, I've been raving about this since I saw it, and I have to tell you, I just had such a good time, and I've been talking about it on the air, and I beg my way into this interview.
So I'm going to begin with you, Bryce. And how did you come to this particular role, especially since you have aligned yourself with Elvis for a while in your life?
I grew up with Elvis in my house. My dad was a huge Elvis fan. He had a room with memorabilia all over. So in the car, the CD or the tape was playing. In the house, it was always playing. I would walk downstairs as a kid, and on Sundays, my dad would watch Elvis movies downstairs. And I would see Follow That Dream was one of my dad's favorites. And Elvis would be wearing PF Flyers and full denim shirt and pants, and I would go up to my room and try and find the exact outfit and come back downstairs and start singing along to the songs. So when I was 10 years old, actually when I was 9 years old, we went to watch an Elvis festival in Canada called the Collingwood Elvis Festival. And we went the first year, watched. There was thousands and thousands and thousands of people lining the main street, watching all these guys would dress up as Elvis and do a tribute to him. So the following year, my mom's like, how about you and your brother go up and do a song each as a surprise for your dad? So we went, and there was a bunch of people lying to my dad saying, oh, this is an autograph session to meet the guys and everything. So next thing you know, we pop up on stage, and my brother did Blue Suede Shoes, and I did Jailhouse Rock. And from then on, we started competing in Elvis contests. And from then, I was doing it as a non-professional. And before I was graduated in high school, I was a professional, and I was doing gigs like this and stuff like that. And then I picked up Million Dollar Quartet about 2 years ago, and I've been doing it ever since.
When you say pick up Million Dollar Quartet, so you became a part of various productions or sort of the production that was touring?
I was working for the original production off of the Broadway roles. I worked with Eric Schaefer and Scott Weinstein and Chuck Mead, who were all on Broadway directing. Mm-hmm. The show, and I had the pleasure of doing it on Norwegian Cruise Lines with them. And that's the last actual original production that they actually have anything to do with now, because it's closed in Vegas, it's closed in Chicago, and now they're just doing it at like theaters and stuff like that. So to work with the actual Broadway guys was amazing, to just have that feature to do the show.
Awesome. Now, let's bring in Ben into this. So how did you come to this?
I am just an actor. I don't have a history. I don't have a history with
Sam Phillips.
You're not doing Sam Phillips festivals?
Yeah, I'm not going to Sam Phillips. Exactly. I played Sam at another theater last year with James Berry, our director. But yep. James has a long history of playing Carl Perkins on the national tour and in various productions. And so we happened to get cast together in a production last year. So then when James got this Berkshire Theater Group gig, he called me, and so I came.
So how do you get into the part? I mean, how much like Sam are you?
I don't know. I think I try to capture the essence of him as opposed to maybe impersonating him, because mm-hmm. I don't think I'm a lot like him. I don't know.
Do you drink?
I listen. I do enjoy whiskey. I, you know, I did listen to.
That's very unusual for actors.
I know. Shocker. There's a lot of audio on YouTube of. There's a great. They just left the tape running, I guess, of Jerry Lee and Sam talking about religion. This is back in the 50s. The actual Million Dollar Quartet evening is that recording is available online as well. So I did listen to him a little bit, but it's more about serving the show that was written, which is of course full of historical facts, but also full of historical inaccuracies for dramatic purposes. So it's more about, I think, serving.
Okay, give us one real fast one.
A real one?
A real mistake.
Well, all the things that happened in the show happened, but they just didn't all, of course, happen that night.
Yes, of course.
So that would be a big one. And Diane is, which this will be a good segue to Christy.
Yes.
Diane is not actually the woman who was there. She's sort of a composite character. Blown up for dramatic purposes as well.
Yeah. The real woman was Marilyn Evans, who was Elvis's girlfriend at the time, and she was in the room, and you can hear her on the recording, but in our show, my character is much bigger. They changed my name to Diane.
Huge.
I sing a few songs, which she didn't do on the recording, the original recording. And yeah, I have a great story, which is really exciting.
How did you get to be that good? I mean, you are fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much.
Did you know all your life you were going to be in musicals? And
yeah, well, I've definitely been singing my whole life. And, you know, I didn't start doing theater seriously until, you know, I was in high school, maybe. But I've always been in love with the theater, and I've always gone, and my family's always taken me, and I've sung around the house my whole life, so it's definitely been a part of my world since I was a kid.
The Unicorn is a beautiful theater. It's an intimate space. I would think you could just knock the roof off that place, which I assume is what you're doing.
I think so. It's really fun to do a show like this in a space that small because everyone's right there. It's really intimate. And I think they did have quite a few challenges in tech getting the sound mix
right
because the drums aren't mic'd. So they can't control it. But everything else is controlled. So they have to kind of.
This is a very loud show, and when I've done it before, we've had rehearsal, and we've had people come in and complain about the noise, and we weren't mic'd or anything. Every year when I do it in rehearsals, they always have complaints about MDQ kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So to do this show in such a small space and not have anything mic'd and play with brushes for most of the time, not even drumsticks, because just try to dull down the sound, it's pretty amazing, especially since I play acoustic and we don't even have it plugged in or anything. It's just,
oh, really? I didn't know you were
plugged in. Yeah, it's just going off the original acoustic because it's such a small room.
And as an act, in terms of the acting, it's fun and a challenge too. Typically, I mean, when I did the show last year, I assume with you guys too, we have, so they're singing live into the stand mics when they're singing, but then also when we're in the book scenes in between songs, we have body mics. And in this theater so small that for those book scenes no one is body mic'd except for me, so that when I talk during the music I can be heard. But so sort of I guess balancing the energy from a song, finishing a song, and then moving into the scene, it's kind of also a different challenge as an actor.
What is it like, especially to do a show like this where everyone in that audience, and I'm assuming almost, let's say everyone, but almost everyone in that audience is probably ready to just sing along with you?
They really do.
I think the show.
How horribly annoying!
No, it's great.
It's awesome.
Okay,
all right. Yeah, I think so. And Sam, and also Sam, I think the show welcomes that early on because Sam talks directly to the audience right from the beginning and asks for a response, and so it's sort of a fun.
It works.
Yeah, I think so.
And Elvis got into character with at least one lady in the audience that night.
I always have to get into character with one lady in the audience every night.
Tell me about your ring.
Oh, this is a championship ring. There's a contest in Memphis, Tennessee on Beale Street that started a long, long time ago, and it's called Images of the King. And now it's ran by Jason Sherry. that does the Lake George contest around here.
Yeah.
And I won 3 years ago now, and this is the championship ring they give you when you win the contest.
That is, it's a
bling.
Yeah, it is bling bling.
It's like a Super Bowl ring.
It is. I was going to say World Series, but yeah, Super Bowl ring. Yeah. And is that real? Are there real diamonds?
Yes.
Or?
Yes. This is it's like the biggest contest there is to win and as an Elvis tribute artist. So you know everybody competes, and this is like one of the biggest traditions that we have to go down to Memphis and compete in Images of the King. So.
But unlike the other actors, you channel Elvis, right?
For sure, for sure.
Hmm. So, I mean, you can't really touch your hair, can you?
Oh. Touch it.
Well, I mean, you can touch it, but I mean, you can't get a cut. You can't. You're sort of into that, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like, there's plenty of times where I've wanted to cut my hair extra short or have it extra long, and it's not possible. And I just gotta always keep it. I've done gigs where they're like, you know, for modeling and stuff, and they're like, we gotta cut your hair short, and I'm like, it's gotta be happy medium because I gotta style it for Million Dollar Quartet in a couple weeks. So it's a very hard thing to. Sometimes to always be in the character of Elvis 24/7 all year round.
What's the best Elvis story you've heard? One of the ones we heard when we were in Memphis about the time the girlfriend wanted him to go to McDonald's. You know about this one? And want to go to McDonald's, and he said, "Nah, they'll kill me over there." You know, they walk, but she prevails. They walk in and say, somebody attacks him and says, "You know, I'm sick and tired of all you Elvis impersonators." do you have a particular one that you like?
I do. I actually toured with Elvis's drummer, DJ Fontana.
Uh-huh.
And he said that in the 1957, late 57, Elvis had, I don't know how, just randomly, somebody brought over a police uniform as like a joke or something. And he put it on and went outside the gates of Graceland and stood in the middle of the street and acted like a police officer, stopping cars and asking them why they were driving so fast and stuff like that. And he was giving them a hard time, and then he would just let them go and stuff like that. And a few, he found cute girls, and he was just like, "I need to speak with you. Please pull into the gates of Graceland." And they're like, "What? Why?" And they pulled in, and then he takes the hat off. And they were like, "Oh, my God." And they started freaking out. Stuff like that. So there's a lot of cool stories I've heard over the years because I've got to play with a lot of amazing people. I've got to play with the TCB band, which is like James Burton, Ronnie Tutt, DJ Fontana. I've met Scotty Moore, his guitar player. I'm very good friends with his bass player's family, his sister, because Bill Black passed away in the 60s, but I never got to meet him. But I've been blessed to work for Elvis Presley Enterprises and just meet a lot of the people, Priscilla and stuff like that, and just be very close to the family, very close to the estate and stuff like that, and be pretty close to just, other than meeting Elvis himself, I've had, I think, every opportunity there is out there.
Elvis died at 42, so how much longer can you do this?
At least till 42, at least.
Okay.
I assume they're going to make me put the jumpsuit on, I think.
No, you're and you'll be healthier. That's great. So you're having a great time. You're there through the 14th and then, or 15th. 15th. And as far as the night to night, the audiences, I assume they're having a great time.
Yeah. They're dancing. They get up out of their seats. We
have
a lot of
fun
with
audiences. Did he dance?
Did he dance? I hope so.
Did you dance?
Did
yeah,
I
of course you're
no,
dead.
No,
no,
I
all right.
I sat there with my mouth open because these were my greatest heroes, Johnny and Elvis and Perkins. It's fantastic.
The Berkshire Theater Group presents Million Dollar Quartet at the Unicorn Theater in Stockbridge, Massachusetts through July 15th. To learn more, visit berkshiretheatergroup.org, berkshiretheatergroup.org. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Bryson Katalinski, Ben Nordstrom, and Christy Coco, I thank you all for being here. What a great pleasure. Have a great rest of the run.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Great to have you here. Thank you very much. Alan, thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.